Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. And it is Feedback Friday. And this typically has not been GR's usual feedback. I mean, I do try to make sure that those people who have poked me in trying to, hey, can you talk about this? Can you give us some information? So I actually have some feedback that is really not directly responding to people, but there are some issues that obviously need to be addressed. I mean, whenever the Constitution gets torched, or I should say, another part of it gets torched, it merits a conversation. It merits to be noted, and the vile, I'll just say, culprit that's behind this, or those who are behind this recent torching, deserves to be lit up. And so we'll get into that. But we will also kind of get into some of the other stuff. And I will get back to my view regarding the presidential candidacy. I mean, this is really sad. It's kind of pathetic that American politics has completely lost its Republican form and meaning. And I say that because, folks, your most important politician in your life are your county commissioners, are your county supervisors. The problem is that there's been so many strikes and whacks and torchings of the Constitution that they have allowed themselves, along with the bureaucracy of this political government, or I should say this party form of government, that they've been removed from you. We have a right, and we have the rule of law, the letter of the law, that guarantees that we have a representative government. And the design of this government is distributive in form, to where the majority of all the political power, the political energy, is guaranteed to you at the local level. That we're not to have a centralized government. Now, everything I assert, I can actually point and look back to the framers' paradigms and their designs. The reason why they didn't spell out a lot of these different things is just due to the fact that they didn't understand that government would actually be able to creep so far out of these boundaries, and that it would start providing services that were just absolutely repugnant. I mean, when we get to it, we're going through the ratification debates now, but once we're done, because we're practically done with New York now, and so once we're done, as a matter of fact, I think we are done. I think there's just either one more thing to read, or I totally forgot where we were yesterday, but we're going into North Carolina. We're going into the final phase, the final state of the ratification debates. And so just so you understand, once we get that done, then I'm going to actually be able to get into some other content. And to be honest with you, I'd like to keep Paul Venable, you know, on board when we cover this content, you know, information, because in so doing, it actually helps provide, I think, because he asked the questions, and I think it really helps other people hear, maybe those questions get answered. Because when I just do monologues, I understand that, you know, I may actually miss some very key things that completely make sense to me, because I've been doing this for a long time. But if you're hearing it for the first time, there may be some gaps. There may be some things that, you know, just to give you some insight, it is historically proven that when you actually have, if you're going to interview somebody, and unless you actually have a full script of the interview, which I don't like doing, I do not like having scripts. I don't like sitting here sounding like I'm reading a script, blah, blah, blah. And so I really like to go And I believe that the best way to serve you in providing an interview is to do a dynamic one, because I have no idea what they're going to say, how they're going to answer it. And I just feel like it is the interviewer's responsibility to hold them accountable for what they say. So in other words, having a script is, you know, not necessarily the best. It's a bad approach, because it doesn't allow you, you got to go through these things, and it doesn't allow you to go, hold on here, what did you just say? It's kind of like when you listen to, you know, and I'm going to get into Pence, but Pence has been getting interviewed by conservative entertainers, and I can't believe how many of these guys are giving him a pass, but we'll get into that. We will get into that, because I mean, I would have, you know, a very specific agenda. If I was interviewing Pence, he wouldn't get a pass from me. And so bottom line, what we're really trying to do here is to try to give you a very good, clear, concise, and succinct view of this content that is absolutely essential. And so, as I've been telling you, the framers, when they went through the design and getting into the, again, the Cod Bounty debates in Congress in 1792, when Madison, because we're going to get into that, we're going to get into the Assumption Act. So there's a lot, we're going to get into the Whiskey Rebellion. And so there's a lot of stuff that, you know, having this type of content and having Paul Venable, you know, to, you know, to raise the BS flag, right? Or to say, hey, hold on here, what the heck does this mean? Then it allows us and it gives you a better detailed view. And I think you'll agree. And so I hate to co-opt him into doing this, but I think he's enjoying it. And two, I think he has become a huge, I'll just say a huge witness, a huge testament that reading the ratification debates absolutely makes the world of difference. In contrast to the Federalist Papers, in contrast to any other document regarding the Constitution, these documents are they're gold. They are our greatest treasure. The ratification debates is a national treasure that we all have. And, you know, I talk to people all the time about, you know, trying to understand something, you know, why? Because it just comes up. And as a matter of fact, it just came up just recently when people, I was talking to somebody regarding scriptures and so forth. And I, you know, I compared and contrasted that to the ratification debates. I mean, when we really want to understand the truthfulness of the gospel, we really need to hear and read the words of Christ. We need to read the words of the prophets and so forth. Because if you don't do that, you really don't understand the law. And it's the same thing with our Constitution. That is the law. Well, how do you understand the law? Because some of those things have really changed meaning, and that has been by design of these nefarious people or these pernicious politicians that are in office. The bureaucrats, these people that have been stealing our liberties and our birthrights. As citizens, we have very specific rights to what type of government, because we live in a republican form of government based on the rule of law, and the law guarantees us very specific things. So anyway, let me just go ahead and dive into the first obligatories I need to cover. First off, I can't tell you enough how important it is if you would go to our YouTube channel, check out these videos that we have, share them. We have instructional videos, the dark blue with text. As a matter of fact, watch them, read the text, and then just have a party, have an event, or take these, download these things, and take them into your Republican Party meeting, the Central Committee meeting, or whatever grassroots organization or conservative organization or people you deal with. Share these videos, especially the Department of Transportation, the three presidential vetoes of DOT. Watch these things and help people start understanding, wow, I did not know this. Because once people start realizing that there's a whole world of our government and law and constitution that nobody wants them to know, not even Hillsdale College. They're all in this for money. They're not in this. I mean, how do you get really smart scripturally and spiritually? Through prayer and reading the scriptures. Do you really get smart by just sitting there listening to somebody? No. And how do you get smart on any topic? It is through the reading, the studying, the prayer, and the application in your own life. This is what we have to do. There's nothing special about me. You can take the same time. What's really more important is I think once you cross this line of GR is absolutely correct. Once you have gotten, let's just call it a testimony. Once you have this testimony, this conviction that I'm correct, then you should actually be able to jump on board without ever having to look over your shoulder, because I can't change this course. If I did, you would absolutely know it. Now, I can't tell you, because I want to talk about it, and I'll probably dance around this, because this organization, this effort that I have, is easily co-opted by, or I should say, there are people, it's not really easily co-opted, because you really can't. It's just like the audit. It's just like Republic Review. When you start auditing the contract, the standing process of an audit is this in the contract? Is this power, role, responsibility in an audit? If it's not there, it can't be exercised. I mean, it's really simple. The audit process is not somewhere where people try to figure out how to make it a part of it or how to, support these unconstitutional ties. That's not a true audit. An audit really goes through, does it exist in the contract? Because technically, when you go to court, when we all go to court and actually, pursue an issue, somebody's going into court regarding the election. Well, the question is, does it arise under the Constitution for jurisdiction and standing? And if it doesn't, then it doesn't go to court. But they don't do that anymore. So we have way too many people that on the Patriot side that are completely, they're ensconced in the wrong paradigm. And this is why I can't tell you enough. The ratification debates and this content that we're going through is the truth. And so once you hit that, once you go, you know what? Now we can actually start building the credibility as the parties have had over a century of basically obtaining 80% blind faith, because 80% of the voters blindly vote down the party line because they just, who else can I trust? I got to trust these guys. Folks, you can't trust the parties anymore. And there's a lot of things, petitions and stuff we need to do. But again, watch these videos and use these videos to help basically break the indoctrination, the brainwashing that the parties and our education, and I'll just say the whole progressive movement that even on the conservative side is ensconced in, has basically brainwashed everybody into believing that this is the real thing. This is our real government. This is the real law, when it is not. We are living in the land of color and the color of law. Anyway, let me just dive into these other obligatories. As you know, every Friday I try to recap where we are on the precious metals market. And so again, March 7th, gold was 1814, and now it's 1966. And I don't mean the year, that's the price per ounce of gold. Now, it's gone up about, I'm going to say somewhere around $50. It's gone up about, a C note or a grand, right? And so per ounce. And that's a decent move. But in contrast to silver, and that's just the past week, by the way, folks. So with FedNow actually happening, right? I told you that when FedNow actually started, that voila, we're going to actually start seeing this, you know, start going up. Now, I honestly believe that this is all going to be downplayed, that there'll be a lot of other things, that people will not be watching this. And why? Because of what just happened. And we'll talk about that in just a second. What just happened in the White House yesterday? Getting to silver. Silver was $20. $20.07. It's now basically at $25. So that's really a $2 plus move in 1 week. Because what it was on what March 7th was $2.07. And I can actually pull up what we told you it was last week. And so let me see here. Last week, the 1st of July, I think is what my last one was. Okay, so here we go. Yes, it was around 20. It was going down, and it was down around $22. So there you have it, folks. I mean, we're seeing the commodities starting to slowly react. And what'll end up happening, it's always a last-minute thing. And if the market does go down, because commodities fluctuate, and they can fluctuate seriously. And there are ways that people get lulled into thinking, well, it's not really happening. Go look at how things respond. They respond dramatically. And if all of a sudden, when we shift over from the dollar to digital, I am going to tell you that the precious metal commodities will spike, and they will probably stay incredibly high, because there will always be a shortage, because there will always be people that will go, you know what, I want my property, and I want my currency in property. I do not want it in a digital form, because you can't own that. It's not property. How do you hold your digital currency? Do you put it under your bed? No. You put it on a memory stick? It is not property. And it's easier to burn than paper. Because with paper, I have to at least get physical access to your money to light that money up. For digital currency, I could hit you from anywhere in the world, go through the wire, and blah. I mean, just wipe out your data and everybody else's data. Now you don't have any money. Now you got to prove that you had that money. And if we can do it, we can actually do that and a lot of other things. And so this kind of lends to some other topics that we want to get into, but let me just try to give you a rapid fire of a lot of the things that we're hearing and talking about that I think are, you know, interesting, that it merits a little bit of time. So the biggest news that you have to know is yesterday, Biden basically submitted an order calling up the reserves, which is an unconstitutional move. The president cannot call up the reserves, nor can he technically deploy for any purpose into an operational area, you know, as a protecting force. He cannot deploy our military outside of the United States without the fact that we even have a standing military. All of these things are unconstitutional, but it requires Congress to be able to call up the reserves, or I should say the militia. The Constitution is clear. Only Congress has that power. Only Congress can declare war. And they can't abrogate this. Even if they said, we're okay, we've created this law that allows the president to do this, because I forget that there have been these acts that they've passed, and it goes all the way back to Washington, where they've tried to do these things as a one-time thing. They did it with Washington for the Whiskey Rebellion. And they had, over time, Congress has abdicated this responsibility that they had to do that. And they can't. You cannot abdicate something that is actually in the Constitution. The only way they can actually say, you know, that the president can call up the troops anytime they want is they amend the Constitution, because they cannot write a law that contradicts the Constitution. all laws in pursuance to the Constitution. In other words, Congress shall call them up. They have to write a law in pursuance to that. It's allowing the president to call up the militia or these reserves, which are unconstitutional. I mean, I have to constantly say the unconstitutional, unconstitutional, because that's just how bad it is, folks. And so the Constitution got torched yesterday by an unconstitutionally sitting president. This is just pathetic. Speaking of the president, the White House, the next issue, because a lot of people are talking about, you know, the drugs and so forth. I mean, I know that there are people who have already connected the dots. You know, Walmart can actually, you know, have a good enough security to determine whether you're stealing something and whether you're checking it out or not. And because they have that level of security. I can't believe, and people are pointing out, how is it that the Secret Service and how is it that our government doesn't have that level of security and scrutiny over every inch and every corner of the people's house? So that's all interesting, but I'm just surprised. And I'm going to say this not in bad taste, because Marion Barry just died. And so, you know, passed away actually this past May. But how many of you remember, you know, Marion Barry and his terms in office? It wasn't how well he was doing, it was how much he was doing. And I mean, even Saturday Night Live made fun of this. And we're getting to a point where you can't make fun of these things anymore, folks. You can't even create parodies or anything else. And that's a sad day. That's a sad day in America when our speech is so stifled for political correctness. But that's where we are. And I'm not telling you anything, right? The other thing that we need to dive into, and I'm going to actually elevate this because the hypocrisy and the paradox is just so overwhelming. It is, I think America right now has a huge win, and unfortunately, America doesn't see it that way. As a matter of fact, the conservative news has even basically said this is bad for America because the actors' unions, there's a couple of unions, but they've shut down Hollywood. They've shut down the production of entertainment until they actually have a better return on the stake of the profits that are being made by these mogul, these corporations and these stars and so forth. And so here's the interesting thing. And I want you to really think about this. How many people in Hollywood, it is almost unanimous that these folks want communism. The elitists tell us, you know, and they look down their nose at us and say, we should invoke social justice, which is basically, social justice is communism because one of the premises, look this up, look at the definition of communism, and you will find that socialism or communism or social justice, more specifically, is the redistribution of wealth, justice, and those types of things. Well, that is communism. Well, these guys are basically becoming advocates. They're becoming hardcore advocates of saying we all have to redistribute our wealth to make sure everybody has a fair share. But look at what Hollywood's been doing. And it requires the union to actually invoke that communism. And why is it that they're not willing to do it? Because one, they're hypocrites, because they know it's a bankrupt and an immoral system, but they will never tell you that because they're that immoral. But the bottom line is, when the music industry and all of these, you know, the news industry, all of these, you know, elitists in the intelligentsia, in, you know, the influencers of our world can make their little market space, their acting, their entertaining, their songs and so forth, when they make their world function and thrive in a communistic form where they actually share they all share equally what they make, then the day they do that is then the day we may want to consider, you know, what they're trying to propose. But we should not be listening to them. We should be calling them out for their hypocrisy. We should be actually poking them in the eye saying, how dare you demand that you want more, you know, or you want to share the profits, but you're not willing to do it. You want us to do it, but you're not willing to do it. You hypocrites. Stop watching them. Turn them off. We win. We'll be right back.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so putting aside the social justice and the communist hypocrisy from the elitists and the intelligentsia, let's get back to our sad state of affairs regarding government and what's going on with McCarthy and the mealy-mouthed, lackluster, failing to do their job in holding people accountable, Republicans in Congress. Now, you know, it's not about being harsh. I'm telling you that the Republican Party, even with the Freedom Caucus, is just not enough. The only way we're really going to turn things around, and the only way they're going to be responsive, is for us to take back our counties. They're going to start noticing, and that's how you take back your congressional districts and your state legislative districts. So you've got to take back your county first. You can't start cleaning up the city while you're swallowing in the filth and slime in your own community. You got to clean up your community first before you can really address the little... the next issues up the chain. So one of the things that I heard, and again, I suffered in listening to talk radio and conservative radio yesterday because I was doing some errands, and I listened to McCarthy's interview regarding the FBI pursuing this whole new headquarters and this whole new structure. Literally create that what they're seeking and they're asking Congress to do is to give them a Pentagon, a second Pentagon, and to basically magnify their presence and force. Now, who could have saw this coming? Anybody that was paying attention to what Obama said in his very first presidential run. And so how did the FBI become so corrupt? I mean, McCarthy is even saying these words because Obama told us he was going to raise a civilian military to help police. We're going to have a federal police force. Duh. Well, look at who, I mean, can you not make these connections, folks? Is McCarthy that stupid? He's not actually telling us what the heck's going on? You know, we have to start calling things for what they are. This is all unconstitutional standing armies, and they have no authority in the Constitution to do these things. Folks, I need to start hearing other people making these assertions. Now, I'll be honest with you. I do hear this stuff come back. When I say things here, as a matter of fact, every once in a while, I hear people actually say things like even Trump might be saying some of the right things because I do know this gets out. I do know that what I am saying actually grows legs and it gets out because this whole concept of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, nobody was talking about this. Nobody was talking about it and how it, and they're still trying to downplay it. They use it and they refer to it lately, but I'd been talking about it for years. because I've been focused on the Constitution for years. I have not been focused on the status quo. I've not been focused on, you know, our monarchical party, democratic socialist form of government. So I've just been calling it out, and I've been calling it out for what it is. So anyway, the other thing that was really hot in the news that I just got to rail on is LIV Golf. Folks, do you realize that underneath our very nose, we're seeing all of our assets and resources being taken from us? And I'm telling you, Saudi Arabia has no legal standing to own the PGA or to own and operate the golfing in America. They don't. No foreign entity can own any asset or resource within the United States. The federal government cannot allow that. Their responsibility is to protect state sovereignty. And for centuries, it was that way. It wasn't until the globalists, and you know what, When I was a young sergeant in the Marine Corps, I actually happened to be working at President Ford's World Forum in 1984. That was in Vail, Colorado. And I'm telling you, this is when the bankers, the corporations, and government were trying to figure out what they needed to do to create the global governance that they were actually coming to. This is when they were actualizing all of this. This was pre-GATT. This was pre-NAFTA. So they've been doing this for years. And it's been a very slow, incremental process, and not one bit of it, not a scintilla, as Obama liked to use, not a scintilla of authority is in the Constitution to allow the federal government to allow any foreign investment or ownership of any American, U.S. corporation, asset, resource, or what have you. And as a matter of fact, when American companies leave America to start manufacturing, their goods cannot come back without having imposts and all of these other things. And that's what they were, that's exactly what they got away with in the 80s, which actually created the decimation of the car industry. Because instead of actually conforming and instead of actually competing, but the real problem was America had all these other problems. And it was all the EPA and all these other standards and so forth where car manufacturers were constrained unconstitutionally. Every path we go down, when we look at the problems, we'll actually find regulations and government involvement of doing things that they had no authority under the Constitution to do. So you could put a blindfold on and you could put a bat in both hands, and no matter how you turned, no matter what direction that bat moved, you would be hitting unconstitutional issues. It is that thick and it is that bad. Now, one of the last couple things, and getting back to this Hunter Biden cocaine and all of this, you know, does anybody remember Billy Carter? The embarrassment of Billy Carter? This is even worse. And why is it that this happens to seem like all the progressive presidents and all the progressive leadership? I mean, you know, the black sheep or these ill-guided members of the family, they're always out there. And I'm going, you know, haven't we learned? Haven't we really learned? Because you may be able to put on a good show, but acorns don't fall far from the tree. And anyway, so the two things I really needed to get into is on technology that I think is worth your notice on this. You need to get disconnected. You really do. And you need to find a way. If you're going to have an app, if you're going to have a cell phone and you're going to have an app, you need to sever your email. You need to sever all accounts. I'm telling you, folks, you could probably exist with a track phone. And I'm not here just selling track phones. I'm not. Not doing that. But the only way for you to actually have some autonomy away from big tech and the communist globalist spy ring network is by having a track phone or a phone that you pay cash for that has no ties to you. And that your service rates, you actually go out and buy the cards. And I'm going to tell you something. They're probably going to outlaw this pretty quick. Because as people start realizing that you can have a level of autonomy and people start severing their ties to the Borg, because that digital footprint that they're monitoring you constantly, I mean, they're already putting in place everything they need for the social credit system. They're already doing it. Big tech is already there. And I'm here to tell you folks, get your butt out of this digital domain. And this even goes for the cloud computing. I know a lot of people use the cloud. I know patriots that use the cloud in one way. Oh, well, you know, I'm using Microsoft, or I'm, you know, I use Microsoft Skype just because, and there are others out there, but they're all, you know, there's problems with all of them. There are problems with all of them other than having your own point to point. And it is my opinion that you're better off having, you know, severing, you know, all of your ties and everything else from your cell phone. And the reason why your cell phone is so nefarious is because the operating system, which Google owns or Apple owns, you know, has back doors in every single app to where they can take and share that data. They demand it. This is why almost every app, you can create an app that is not open, that does not share, but 9 times out of 10, they won't go into their store because they want compliance. And this is what they're demanding, and they're getting away with it. You know, this Fourth Amendment right of being protected in your person, this is being completely ignored. And this goes down the path, folks, of when you put data either on your phone or when you're using an app to guide you and those types of things, then they are actually sharing all of that. There have been people that have been arrested for a crime they didn't commit because an app put them close to the vicinity. I'm not making this stuff up. It doesn't even mean that you've done something. It is a matter of how, and their ability of deep fake and artificial intelligence. By the way, deep fake is becoming a real bargaining issue in this Hollywood union fiasco, where they're saying, hey, you can't do this anymore. You can't take our likeness and actually create fake, you know, movie clips and so forth, because they're getting that good at this. I'm telling you, anybody that is being brought up on accusations, on charges, you don't believe it. Say, you know what? It's an interesting charge. It's a significant, you know, accusation. But until it has been actually proven, then, you know, I'm not going to go down that path and believe that. So bottom line, because they can actually manufacture anything. I've told you that they can go into and make your constitution probably read something completely different, making these, you know, it's just like changing of the scriptures, some of our founding documents. And you know what? If you don't have a repository to do that A-B comparison, how do you know? Now, with the constitution, it'll be tough because there's lots of people that carry that around in hard copy form. So changing that would be tough, but how easy would it be to manipulate the ratification debates when nobody has it? How easy would it be to manipulate the annals of Congress when very few people have it? It's the big, huge images. Nobody pulls that stuff down. I do. You should, because they have the ability to change those things with this deep fake and AI. But anyway, back to this AI, let me get into cloud computing, because bottom line, as they're starting to tell you, there is a real threat with, you know, all of this cloud, all of this, you know, this big tech infrastructure that they're creating, and they're spying on you, even Amazon. So Amazon was at they weren't very forthright, but it has actually come out that they've been sharing with the CIA and the federal government anything and everything you look at while you're logged in. And they've gotten to a point where they basically are going through the back doors of browsers or what have you to tell you what you're looking at all these other tabs. Google has been definitely doing that with Chrome. So if you're using Chrome, you're wide open to Big Brother looking at everything you're doing. So when you're on the Amazon cloud, when you go into any cloud whatsoever, you need to understand that, and if you understand Active Directories with Microsoft, if you own the keys to the forest, you own the keys to every tree. You own the keys to every leaf on that tree. And when I'm talking about trees and forests, because Active Directories, that's how they kind of taught the Microsoft sysadmins and engineers and so forth, this networking structure that, you know, the Active Directories of this cloud is this huge forest. And every tree, every account, every partition that they create, they have access to. Now, they may tell you that, oh, well, there are these checks that we place in there, but they can always obtain full access. And I'm here to tell you that Amazon has been spying on technology that's in the cloud. IBM, every company that is putting out these clouds, they are doing corporate espionage and all sorts of things. Why? Because they can. It's not because these guys are angels. I mean, come on, folks. Even Madison made that statement best, and I would invite you to go read the Federalist Paper number 10. If men were angels, we wouldn't need government, but they're not. So we need a government that can actually, you know, have very limited structures to ensure that men can't become too corrupt. Well, our corporations are wide open for corruption, and I'm telling you that they're spying and they're doing anything and everything they can to steal your technology. And you don't even know it. And, you know, you see this happen with Costco. Somebody goes in with Costco with a product. Costco goes out and completely re-engineers it, puts the Kirkland brand on it. Next thing you know, you can't buy the product that you loved. And somehow this Kirkland product just isn't the same. Walmart's been doing it too. Walmart's actually been, anyway, I'll stop myself here. I am telling you that you got to stop trusting big tech and big corporations. They're not in it for you. They're not in it for liberty. They're in it for control, and they're in it to work together to take us all down the path that they have chosen for us. Stand up, separate yourself, and get smart. Now, getting back into the presidential candidates, I need to do one go back on Pence. And that's only because I've heard too many interviews now with him, with conservative entertainers and the like, mainstream media and so forth. And not one person has called him out in an interview. I was kind of alluding to this at the beginning of the show. Not one person has called him out regarding that First Amendment petition that he was given on January 4th, telling him that he had to reject the Electoral College, that they could not move forward with an unconstitutional Electoral College. The Electoral College was unconstitutionally formed. They didn't address it. They haven't even refuted it. And nobody can refute it because we have all the evidence. They've given us the evidence because all the records exist that they made all of these changes in the manner of how the states were to choose their electors, which is a direct violation of Article 2 of the Constitution, Article 2, Section 1. For the choosing of the president, only the state legislatures can determine the manner of how we are to choose. And when your governors, secretary of state, and or judges, because they dismissed and sent them home, all your state legislatures. This is why this is so huge. The 2024 election is equally huge. And oh boy, I get feedback all the time. You know, Trump is still in charge. You know, Trump's still our president. You know, he's inaugurated as the 46th. Folks, we need to start really focusing not on these whimsical, you know, boy, what if, or, you know, did you know? One thing I know is the Constitution being severely violated. And until we hold public servants accountable, that's what we have to do. Until we do that, we're not going to get ourselves out of this dark, dank cave that we're sealed in. And we're not sealed in. We're just basically been bamboozled into believing we are. We have all we need to get out of this. I can't tell you enough. So anyway, it is infuriating me that Pence is getting this pass. People, you need to start demanding, and you need to start bringing this up. We need to start holding him and everyone accountable. We can't allow these charlatans to have this direct access, this easy access. We should be able to stop these people and say, no, no more. And we can do this. We just have to start demanding full compliance of every public servant. They don't comply, they don't get a vote. And we need to demand that we stop voting for these things. The only way this happens, folks, is by you getting out and getting your fellow citizens to realize this is a movement. This isn't going to probably happen, today. It's not going to happen maybe by the end of the summer. But we do have hope of this happening by the 2024 election next year. Let's start working together. If you reach out, you're in a state that we're not covered in, just let me know where you want us to get started. And I'll tell you who you can start working with if there's people there. And we will connect you, we will empower you, and we will do everything we can to help you succeed, because your success is our success. This is not about us. This is about all of us. Not about just me, a little team, or, building a big team. It is about all of us. It is about our liberty. It is about our future. And it is about our posterity. So, getting into the candidates now. Asia Hutchinson. Big, 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 big. Now, he's the next candidate we're going to cover. We covered a lot already. But Asia Hutchinson already has a huge, big red flag. He's a lawyer. Now, people do not like how I really broad brush and I stereotype. And there's reasons for stereotype, friends, why I stereotype lawyers and officers from the military. Because over the past half century, do we really have anybody? I mean, remember Maddox? Everybody trusted Maddox until all of a sudden we realized that Maddox was, as equally corrupt. He was an autocrat, and he, all of a sudden he had a bad taste, or everybody had a bad taste in their mouth on him. I'm telling you, you just can't trust military officers. You can't. They're politicians. These guys are hacks, and they're hacks in a communist regime. Because the U.S. military is the perfect form of communism. You don't have the right of entrepreneurial spirit and individual rights, individual liberty. It does not exist in that paradigm, in that world. It is all communism. Why it's perfect is because it is voluntary. So he worked in the business dealings with the CIA director, James Woolley. That's the second thing he did. He's not just a lawyer, but he was a direct tie to the CIA director. In his financial disclosure, he failed to disclose 200,000 shares in Fortress America worth about $1 million as an oversight. Sounds like Slick Willie. For he was appointed by Bush to lead a division in the newly formed Deep State DHS. Come on, folks. This guy has, four major red flags right here that this guy is not, out for liberty and out for the Constitution. He successfully prosecuted the Covenant, the Sword, and the Arm of the Lord, the CSA, which was a white supremacist group that actually advocated the use of deadly force to obtain their political means. At least that's how it was played out and panned. I haven't done the due diligence on this, but I'm just telling you that right there creates a little bit of suspicion, because it's one thing. I mean, it's one thing to actually say we will not have insurrectionists and people who are advocating murder, death, and those types of things, which is why the Weather Underground or Black Panthers or, Louis Farrakhan, all of these people that are radical groups, they all should be identified, but who's prosecuting them? It seems like, you know, he went down the woke path because I can't believe that this is the only group, but this creates a credential for him, a credential that he's, you know, he's beloved because he's actually gone after our big, you know, our big, I'll just say bad wolf or the big bad monster in our minds, that it's these white men because they're all white supremacists. And that's the only threat we need to worry about. And I'm sorry. You know, there's an equal amount of every demographic that could be equally prosecuted. And when this becomes a bragging point, to me, it becomes more of a suspicious, be very cautious of this person. Be very cautious. He may not be a silver spoon globalist like, what was the other guy's name from the governor from North Dakota. He may not be that silver spoon, you know, guy, but has proven his worth to the globalist cause and acted as a lapdog for them and cannot be trusted in public service. It's that simple. So Asia Hutchinson, I mean, don't even consider this guy. So far, we do not have anybody really worth considering. And right now, Trump is the only, seems like everybody's pretty, you know, hell-bent on taking all of his baggage and saying he's our only choice. And that right there is a failed paradigm. And that's only because with all the partisanship and everything else, he's the liability. I can't tell you enough how he's a liability. The only way Trump could really actually not be the liability that he is to actually stand up on the Constitution. He needs to be exactly where we are, on the top of the mountain, and actually leading with the Constitution, using it as the weapon. You know, because he could do that. He could do that today, but he doesn't. So the longer he doesn't do this, and there's no doubt in my mind, this is trickling to him. I truly believe the longer he takes in getting to where he needs to be only proves that he is not the one. So anyway, the next one up we have is Corey Stapleton. Now, he has an interesting resume. He has his share of red flags, though. He was the Secretary of State, and I believe the Secretary of State, Corey Stapleton, implemented the new software in Montana to basically do what Billick's wanted to do in changing the manner of choosing the electors. Corey Stapleton, supposedly, I mean, he was appointed underneath Bullock. Bullock was a Democrat. Supposedly, he's a Republican. Folks, you don't even know. These labels mean nothing. Until we actually start holding people accountable and truly vetting, we'll get into this because I'm out of time. Next time we come back on next Friday, we'll start off with Corey Stapleton. But you can't trust these folks regarding on their label. We have to demand full vetting. We have to actually see them test. Look at how they answered the very specific questions regarding the Constitution and then say, okay, all right, this guy knows what he's talking about, or he doesn't, and that's how we start deciding moving forward. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.